The Ebola crisis in three countries in West Africa is not over, but as the rate of infection drops, public health officials are looking at what they've learned from the epidemic that's killed thousands so that they can be better prepared for the next outbreak. One issue in the country of Sierra Leone is a reluctance among some rural residents to seek treatment from medical staff. A New Hampshire-based reporter has been looking at what's behind that reluctance and what's being done to address it. Matt Hongel-Tetzling writes for the Valley News. He recently took a reporting trip to Sierra Leone for a project with the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, and he joins me now with some of what he's learned. Welcome to Weekend Edition.
Thank you very much.
Now, why this trip?
I had actually planned this trip before the Ebola crisis ever became an international issue. There's a much worse crisis happening in West Africa that not a lot of people think about. The ongoing massive numbers of deaths of infants and pregnant mothers as they go through their daily lives.
And what goes into that? I mean, one of the problems you wrote about was ongoing distrust of health workers.
Yeah, if you're a young pregnant woman in Sierra Leone, you don't really have a lot of great options. There are government-run hospitals where there is widespread corruption, so that even though the national government has, since 2002, guaranteed free health care for pregnant women and young children, in fact, most pregnant women and young and their families are still asked to pay when they go in to deliver a child. So that's option one, which is just untenable in a country where a lot of people make about a dollar a day. The other option that they have is to make use of a network of traditional faith healers, sometimes referred to as traditional birth attendants. These are generally women who are situated in the community and who have a strong relationship with the young mother. That often makes them the more favorable option. But the problem is that a lot of times they give advice that is not medically sound. They'll tell a young pregnant woman not to eat eggs because those eggs could turn the child into a thief. Or they will tell her not to eat bananas or not to go out at night because that could invite unwanted attention from evil spirits.
And in a situation as serious as having a child or dealing with Ebola, every bit of that advice can be crucial.
Oh, absolutely. And this is at the root of some of the massive problems over there. You know, women die at a higher rate during their birth than anywhere else in the world. The infant mortality rate is just about the worst in the world. About one in five children don't live to see their fifth birthday. And this is often because of, you know, very preventable conditions. You have malaria and pneumonia and things that we just don't really think of as life-threatening over here because we can access treatment. But over there, there are still these obstacles that persist.
Now, you were reporting on a group of people who may find a way to overcome some of these obstacles to individuals getting care. What do they do?
There's a group there called the Well Body Alliance, and they've been operating a clinic there since 2007. And they are a very unique NGO in that while a lot of big humanitarian organizations operate from central offices where all the big decisions are made, this is a small NGO that has headquarters in Boston, but which is really a kind of a true partnership with the local Sierra Leonean people. So a lot of the decisions that are made can be made on the ground. Rather than poo-pooing the idea of traditional healers and trying to get people to stop going to them, instead we're going to hire those traditional birth attendants and have them come into our clinics, and we're going to put them on the payroll, and we're going to, you know, educate them in a way that's not threatening to their spiritual beliefs. And then when a woman who trusts that traditional birth attendant is ready to give birth, the traditional birth attendant will feel comfortable bringing that woman into a clinical setting. And that's what we saw during our time in Sierra Leone, and it seems to be working beautifully. It's not a brand new idea. The World Health Organization has actually been telling the global community for several years now, we need to work with traditional healers because they have something the medical community often does not trust, a relationship with the public. And so when you have NGO workers or healthcare workers showing up in full gear protective equipment in a village that may not have seen a white person for the last decade, you can imagine why that person was not immediately embraced, especially when their mission was essentially to track down an Ebola patient suspect and cart them off, never to be seen again.
I was reading one of the dispatches you sent back on the Valley News from your trip through Sierra Leone, and you wrote about a moment where you had been on the roads of Freetown, the capital city, and at one point you were in place for about 20 minutes, and you said, and I'll just quote, you said, you tried and failed to describe the people streaming by. And so instead, you just listed your notes, a very short encapsulated description of a large number of people. What was it that you think made that so difficult?
I think, you know, when we have these first impressions of people, they're just so fleeting. It was frustrating to me because I saw that there were these very deep and rich lives. But being an outsider to the community, I only had the ability to kind of observe the scantest details. Surface impression seemed to be all that I could absorb because it was all so new to me and all such a culture shock. And so I think it's emblematic of the way that we in this country and elsewhere view Africa. We see these surface impressions of, you know, maybe a hungry kid or a diamond miner working hard. We don't really understand that diamond miner, he's got, you know, a family, he's got children, he's got dreams and hopes and aspirations, and it can just be so difficult to appreciate the uniqueness and humanity of every person in Sierra Leone.
If you'd taken this trip a few months ago, inevitably the first question you would have gotten on returning home was, is your quarantine period over yet? What kind of response have you gotten now that you're back from people who know that you've just traveled to Sierra Leone?
I would say it's generally been positive. I think, you know, I am under observation by the CDC, which in practice means that I'm reporting my temperature to them on a daily basis. But certainly it's been a much different reception than one that I would have expected had I gone over there in December when Ebola was just rampant.
Do you think you'd go back?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of story there to tell. And I don't know that I ever will personally go back, but certainly I would recommend it to any journalist or just anyone who wants to make a difference in the world.
Matt Hangel-Tetling, thanks so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.